Om Sahana Bhavatu.
Sahana Bhavatu. Mahavirayam Kalabhavahe. Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahe. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Japa is really the repetition of a mantra, you know, and you've probably seen even Catholics doing the rosary. The rosary itself and the Hail Mary, the repetition of the Hail Mary and Our Father, that has its origins in Japa. So Japa is a very, very ancient tradition, and almost every religion has some form of killing the beads. But usually all that anybody knows about it, or all I ever knew about it, was just that you say the mantra, like we'll be using Om Namah Shivaya, and then you just repeat it one beat at a time. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. So that was japa. That's it. And that's what it is for most people. You just know that these are japa beads, if you know that, you know, and that you have a mantra, and you say one mantra per bead. But we don't usually know what's actually going on in the psyche and why japa is so powerful. And so sometimes it helps to really unfold that, you know, so you understand what's actually going on internally and why it's used. It has stood the test of time. So it's thousands and thousands of years that stood the test of time, you know, and things last for centuries. Usually they have something useful about them or they'll die out, right? And so here, this is how Swamiji's always explained it, which I like. Your mind runs on its own by associative thinking, right? Like, for instance, if I say hot, for me, the next word that will be generated is its opposite, is cold. So if I say hot, cold comes right away. And if I think of cold, I happen to think cold, snow, tobogganing, my cabin. It goes on like that, whatever. You can start with any word, that word will generate another word, which will, it's all by association. And so our mind tends to be continually thinking one vritti, one thought after another, through this, what we call associative thinking, the laws of association. And so because of that, there's never a lot of, I would say, space in the mind. You know, like the idea of a space between thoughts, objectified thoughts, thoughts that have some sort of externalized content. Like, for instance, an example would be like if I think of the painting, I'm having a thought of the painting. If I'm thinking of snow, that's actually snow as an image of something. So my mind is usually filled with storylines or with different image after image after image, or even feeling after feeling after feeling, and feeling the cause of the feeling, who did this to me to bring about this thing, because on and on and on, all associative thinking. And so what japa is able to do for you is to break this associative thinking by, in a sense, tricking the mind. It's tricking the mind by the repetition of one thought. And usually what we will use, a thought that evokes the name of the Lord. By the repetition of a mantra, and we usually use a mantra that evokes the name of the Lord, like the very sacred and famous mantra is Om Namah Shivaya. So I'm going to use that one, Om, which evokes the sacred syllable Om. That's really the name of the whole. It's the name of Ishwara. It's Om. Usually a mantra will start with Om, and Namaha or Namas means my salutations, my pranams, to Shiva. And we're usually Shiva because Shiva is the one, Lord Shiva is an aspect of Ishwara, aspect of the Lord that removes ignorance and papas and all kinds of things. So Shiva is a good person to evoke in the Hindu tradition. So if I say Om Namah Shivaya, that's a very sacred mantra. And by the way, this mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, is in the center of the Rudram, Sri Rudram. And they say that by chanting Om Namah Shivaya, it's as though you're chanting Rudram. That's how sacred it is, yeah. That's a beautiful, beautiful mantra. And there are many different mantras. You may have your own mantra, but since we're going to be doing this together, we'll use this mantra together while I'm teaching it. And then you can use whatever mantra from whatever tradition. If you come from like a Christian tradition or Buddhist tradition or Islamic tradition, they have their own mantras, and you may have been using one for years. Whatever it is fine, you know. And it should be a mantra that evokes a sacred space or the name of the Lord, as opposed to saying a song. You'll say, as opposed to saying pencil, pencil, pencil. You could say pencil, 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 and you would still be breaking the associative thinking, but at the same time, it's not evoking that kind of sacred relationship or the relationship with God. So we use a mantra for that. Now, when you're saying the mantra, you are actually breaking associative thinking, because you're saying the same thing over and over and over. And so say if I'm saying, for instance, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, you would think that would break associative thinking, but as long as you'll say, if you're saying, and especially in India where a lot of children are named Shiva, you know, or Shivaya, you can say, you're thinking, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, what did Shiva do? Did he get home? So your mind can actually squeeze in a thought in between the mantra. Even if you're going Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, there's a little split second there that is enough for associative thinking to squeeze in and take you on a ride. And so the japa beads are used to help bring back the mind. It's a type of auto-suggestion. So when you say the first mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, you have a split second to go off into another associative journey. But by the time, by auto-suggestion, when your finger hits the next bead, that brings your mind back. Right? That's the cue for the next mantra. And so it'll make your mind come back. And so that's why we use these. You don't have to use them, but that's what they're used for. And so when we start doing the japa, normally you'll start saying the mantra quite rapidly using the beads. Om Namah Shivaya, 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 Om Namah Shivaya. And I'll have you, when we do this, I'll have you do it with me out loud. And then after we've done it for a while, so I'll stop. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. And at that moment when we stop, the mind has nothing to do, because it's supposed to say Om Namah Shivaya, because that's the associative pattern that we've set up. And so instead you stop that, and then the mind is just in a sense stunned into a moment of not knowing what to do now, except be quiet. Just quiet. You have a moment of quiet. The thought, there is a thought there, but it's a thought, it's a no-thought thought. It's a thought without any content except silence. The content of that thought is silence. And so then, it won't last for very long, we'll start up again. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. After doing that for a while, we'll then change the tempo to where now instead of Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, it would be Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, so that there is a space. And what you'll find is that after a time, it'll start with being like this: the mantra, silence, mantra, silence, mantra, silence. But after some time, what starts to happen is your mind starts to differentiate between the silence of you, the conscious being, in which the mantra is arising. And so there's a shift that takes place between mantra silence, mantra silence, mantra silence, to the silent backdrop, which is constant, in which the mantra is taking place. So there's silence, and the silence is changeless, continuous. and the mantra is rising and setting in that continuous silence. And this is actually where we want to go with the japa, because once that takes place, then what you realize is that, oh, all of these thoughts, the mantra is a thought after all, it's just that we're doing one thought, the same thought, the mantra, 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 instead of associative thinking, you know, like snow, toboggan, cabin, it's mantra, mantra, mantra. But the mantra is still a thought. And so what you recognize is that the mantra, the thought, is taking place in me, who remain as just as silent, changeless, conscious being that I am. And then what happens is I recognize that actually my being, who I am, the me, the self that I am, is actually free of the thought. The thought rises and sets in me. I'm there before the thought, during the thought, and after the thought without any type of change or modification at all. And so I recognize then the changelessness of my own being that is there both pervasive to the mantra and transcendent of it also. By transcendent of the mantra, I mean it's not touched by the mantra. It doesn't change. Isn't altered ever in any way. And if that's the truth of my relationship with a mantra, it is the truth of my relationship with a thought. Right? And so what I recognize is that I am really I am constant changeless being in which all of these thoughts and feelings and emotions and perceptions are taking place. And it's a differentiation that usually is not made. Right. Once it's made, we see. But normally, because my being is changeless and is the very backdrop and pervasive to every thought, I don't notice it because it's always the same. What I notice are the changes. I don't notice myself as the changeless one who is the same in all thoughts, like the same in all beings, the same in all experience. I don't notice that. Until I do. Until there's some sort of a teaching or something to highlight that, and then I recognize it. So japa is very profound for bringing bringing into differentiation my own presence. And then as time goes on, I start recognizing, well, that changeless presence, which is me, is always here. It doesn't matter what the thought is. It doesn't matter if it's a happy thought or a sad thought. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter what the emotion is, what the thought is, what the perception is. All of those opposing perceptions, opposing emotions, negating emotions, like a happy emotion certainly negates a sad emotion and vice versa. One thought negates another, right? But there's one there who's not negated or changed. And so once that's recognized, it makes a whole difference in terms of your inner space, in terms of your inner world, because there's a constant self that's not being contaminated or hurt or injured, especially by all of the painful and hurtful emotions that we experience. Nobody minds the positive emotions. You know, and all the positive emotions are there. There's no problem. We're all fine. We're all liberated for the moment. Right? It's all good. So nobody has a problem with those except the fear of them coming to an end. That's a problem. But the emotion itself's not a problem. But the painful ones are a problem. You know, and especially when you have no self. When you have no self, then you are the painful emotion. That's real samsara. That is the nightmare. I am the experience. You know, so if it's a good experience, if it's a happy experience, I am happy. If it's a hurt experience, I am hurt. There's no one who is having the hurt experience or one who is having the happy experience. I am that experience. And especially when the experience is a hurtful one, it's very funny how the mind works, you know. If we look at it like this, this is sukha, this is the happy experience up here. So here I'm on this crest of a happy experience. When I'm up here, if everything's wonderful and happy, but I know it's not going to last very long, and that's my sadness. I'm having this happy experience. I know it's going to come to an end. I'm positive of it, and that's a sorrow for me. And then, I'm down to the bottom, to the negative experience, the depressed experience, or the hurt experience. And when I'm down here, of course, I know that's never going to come to an end. This will come to an end, but when I'm down here, this may never come to an end. I'm never going to get out of this. It's just unfortunate. Be nicer, maybe. I don't know which would be better, but anyway. It'd be nice. The nicest would be, yeah, this coming to an end, but this is also. So, and that's more realistic, actually. Both of them come to an end. But you don't. That's the thing. Your being doesn't. And that being that doesn't change, that's free of time, really, and that is ananda, full and whole by its nature, that doesn't come to an end. That is constant. That's free from all of the samsara. So japa is very, very good for helping to see that. Now, so we're going to work with this japa. We'll do a little trial run. But before japa, we want to do japa when it can be most effective. And there's some kind of preliminary work we can do with the mind that I'll do as a guided meditation, just to bring the mind into a relative state of peace. And then we'll do that in a meditative form. And then once we do that, then I'll guide you with this japa and ask you to chant it with me, following my lead. And so when I'll do it very quickly for a while, then I'll stop, and you'll all have maybe one extra, because you will have some momentum, right? But you just stop, and then we'll have a moment of silence, and then I'll start it up, and you just follow along to the best that you can. And then I'll move it to another dimension where you're doing it on your own silently. So here's the mantra for those of you who don't know it. Om, you know, the word is, if I broke the sandhi, the words, it would be Om Namah Shivaya, Shivaya. But it's, when I do the sandhi, when I put these words together, it's going to be Om Namah Shivaya. So Namah becomes Namash. So there's going to be like a pause. It's not Namah Shivaya, it's Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. So Om Namah Shivaya. Is that okay? I really tried it. Om Namah Shivaya. 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 Okay, so that will be our mantra. Everybody ready? Okay, so let's take a few minutes. I'm going to guide us on some things that we can do before you really start that meditative process, just to relax, help you relax your body and relax your mind, you know, just relatively, and then we'll start that mantra. So let's turn off the lights.